Today's Shiz Masechta Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah continues with what are considered mumim on a bechor. Zonach ha'egosh enem magas l'arkov. If the tail of a calf does not reach the arkov, the Mishnah immediately, the Mitzvah will explain what is the arkov. Then it's a mum. Amr chachamim, kol marbis ha'golim kein. All, most agolim are that way. Kovzman shehein madilim henin tachis. As long as they grow, the tail keeps on stretching. So Rashi explains that the Chacham are actually agreeing with the Tanakhama, and the Chacham are telling us that if the tail doesn't even reach the arkoiv, then that is a mum. And the Chacham continue to teach us that first, apparently, the tail reaches the arkoiv, and then as the animal continues to grow, so does the tail continue to grow. But if it doesn't even reach the arkoiv, it is a mum. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that the Chachamim are actually disagreeing with the Tanakhama. And what the Chachamim are saying to the Tanakhama is that you say that if it doesn't reach the arkoiv, it's a mum. Say the Chachamim to the Tanakhama, no. Because even though it doesn't currently reach the arkoiv, it will continue to grow until it ultimately does get long enough. So ask the Mishnah, Eza Arkov Shamru. We speak about the arkov, wants the Mishnah to know what is the arkov. Says the Mishnah, V'chanina v'antignus oimer, v'arkov sheb'emtza hayerach. It's in the middle of the thigh. That, and the Gemara is going to explain immediately a little more where that is. That is considered the arkov. Says the Gemara immediately, Kana. Says the Braisa, and identifying where is the arkoiv, kafetz ha'elyon, v'loy kafetz ha'tachton. It's in the upper joint of the animal's foot, not in the lower joint. V'kenegdoi v'gomel nikar. And such a place is noticeable by a camel. Rashi gives two pshatim. What does it mean that it's noticeable by a camel? One pshat Rashi says that by a camel, that spot where this joint is a protruding bone, and therefore it's easily identified by a camel where the arkoiv is. That's one pshat Rashi says. The other pshat Rashi suggests is that a camel also has a tail, and that the Gemara is teaching us that just like the tail of a goat reaches up to a certain point, so too does the camel's tail reach to that point, and is therefore considered a good way of knowing to where the tail should be, that it should not be considered a bamo. Continues the Mishnah, al elu mumim shaychnas b'char, for the following, for all the mumim that we've learned in this perek, the halacha is that if it's a b'char, it's considered a b'char b'amum, that the halacha is a b'char b'amum, as we know, is not brought as a carbon, rather becomes the personal property of the kohen, albeit with certain restrictions. The halacha is that if we're magdish an animal to be a carbon, so it's kadosh. But as we've learned many times, if it becomes a bamum, then you paid it. These mumim that we've been learning in our perek are mumim for which a carbon would be redeemed. Ask the Gemara, Hasul Amali, why must our Mishnah mention these words? Hatanel Eresha, haven't we begun the perek with these words? The perek began. Al elu mumim shaychtim es bechor. So we already know this halacha. Answers the Gemara, Sefer Yisrucha. The chiddush of the Mishnah is in the Sefer. It says in the Sefer, Psulei hamidoshim niftim aleihem, that these are mumim for which a carbon would be redeemed. Ask the Gemara, hanami pshita. But that halacha is also halacha that is should be obvious. Because if Mishra Tshritinon, if we could take an animal which is a bechor, and just because it has this mum, be allowed to shecht it, nifrik miboyim. So certainly, when we take an animal, when we're not just taking it from being a carbon for the mizbeach, and now we could use it, as we just said a moment ago, for personal use. All we're doing is we're just being poided. Certainly, it's much less of a serious issue to be poided an animal. So we could take, if this is a good enough reason to do that, it should certainly be a good enough reason to be able to be poided. Answers the Gemara, Ella, the reason we needed to have our Mishnah is for a different reason altogether. As we learned on the Mishnah, on Daf Mem, I did the Tanish Shloisha Hosef, that we learned in that Mishnah that Ayala added three more Mumim that he considered Mumim. The Tani, the Amriloi, and the Chazal Setrem, Lo Shemanu Elos Egu, we don't agree that we don't consider these Mumim. The Tani Vasa Dichido, so all the other Mumim that are listed in the Perek are really the opinion just of Yechidim, they're not the opinion of any of the Chachamim, the Kasasulam, the Kuna. But now, our Mishnah, by saying a general statement, Al Eilam Mumim Shachnas Bechar, these are the Mumim for which we Shech the Bechar, Al Eilam Mumim Shachnas Bechar, Psuon of Dosh Nishnam Aleim. So the Mishnah here is trying to teach us a general rule that all of the Bechayrim that have been mentioned in this, that all the Mumim have been mentioned in this parak, even though they've only been mentioned as the opinion of Yechidim, are still to be considered Mumim for which you could check the Bechayrim and be paid them. Hagdish, the three Mumim that Ayal identified, as the Mishnah there said, ultimately they agree they are Mumim. And then we had other Mumim that were listed by Rav Chanina ben Atignas and Rav Chanina Gamliel, and all of them teach us the Mishnah are considered Mumim. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu, now the Mishnah begins with a list of Mumim that are, so to speak, not really clear. Ain't Shakim Lev B'Mikdash V'Lev Medina, which means as follows. They're not considered full-fledged Mumim. For were they to be considered full-fledged Mumim, as we just finished saying, then it becomes the personal property of the Kayin. And he could certainly shech that animal anywhere. If, on the other hand, they weren't Mumim, then the halacha should be, they should be put on the Mizbeach. Rather, says the Gemara, that they are considered somewhere in between, and therefore they're not brought as a carbon, but we have to wait till they get another Mum, that they should be considered full-fledged Mum, that the Kayin, that should become the personal property of the Kayin. Machloikis Rishonim, when we say here that they may not be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, what does that mean? Does it mean that they are considered, that if one brings it on the Mizbeach, he hasn't fulfilled his chiv carbon? That is some opinion of, and it's that actually Machloikis Rishonim. Because some Rishonim say the reason these animals should not be brought as a carbon, because as we said earlier, the Torah says Mifcha Nedarecha, we should bring for carbon the best, and these are certainly not the best. But if that's the entire issue, then the Eved, the halacha would be a kosher carbon. Other Rishonim, however, learned that the Pasuk, as we also learned earlier in our parak, says Tamim Yil Roxen, and these animals that we're about to mention are not in the category of Tamim Yil Roxen, and therefore even the Eved cannot be used as a carbon. Interestingly, this Mishnah is used to discuss a question regarding the Dalaminim. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Masech the Sukkah, says that in terms of the Dalaminim are nittel, are taken lulav nittel v'mikdash min atayr b'chal shivas yimei sukkahs, which means midaraisa, the mitzvah of Dalaminim in outside of the Mikdash is only on the first day of Yom Tov. The Mikdash, it's all 7 days, Avalev in Medina. And the question, which is actually Machlokes Rashi and Rambam, is what is the definition of Mikdash in Medina used in that Gemara Masech Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph? Rashi says Mikdash means the Beis HaMikdash. Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, according to the opinion of Rashi, if there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no place in the world where one can be mekayim the mitzvah dalamina midaraisa after the first day of Sukkahs. Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says the definition of Mikdash means all of Yerushalayim, and Medina means outside of Yerushalayim. Say to Mepharshim that this Mishnah clearly supports Rashi, Because in our Mishnah, for sure, the word Migdash means strictly the Beis HaMikdash, because we're speaking about a carbon, and a carbon can only be brought on the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, the Rambam is going to have to say that he holds that the definition of Migdash and Medina is not the same in every place. That in our Mishnah, definitely the definition of Migdash means the Beis HaMikdash, and Medina means outside the Beis HaMikdash, but that doesn't mean that in Masechta Sukkah, it has to have the same definition. So these mumim that are in this middle category, what are they? Chavarver v'mayim shein kvum. We spoke about this earlier in our perek. These are when it has these specks or tears, but it's not a permanent mum. V'chutim apnimius, the inside gums, shenifkemu, that are damaged. Avloish nekru, they have not been completely uprooted. Obal garov, obal yabelis, we'll speak in the Gemara what a garov is. A yabelis is a wart. About chazazis, an animal that has a chazazis. Zokin is an old animal. And here too we have a machlokes rishonim. What is the definition of an old animal? Some rishonim say that an old animal is an animal that's over 3 years old. Which means, in the kabbonis that the Torah tells us, the mandates that we have to bring, so by all of those kabbonis, the Torah also tells us the age of the animal that should be brought. But by a carbon that one donates, he can bring any animal that he has. Still, the Mishnah, according to these Rishonim, are saying that it's over 3 years old, it should not be brought. However, most Rishonim explain that the definition of Zokin is that an animal is so old that already it shakes. It's not steady. In fact, I saw a very interesting opinion that these Mumim that we're about to learn, Zokin, Chayil, and Mazom, the halacha is that even with the Evid, if one used such an animal as a carbon, he has not fulfilled his obligation. So some want to suggest that if one brought an old animal, over 3 years old, with the Evid, the carbon is a carbon. But if one brought an animal that shakes, even with the Evid, the carbon is not a valid carbon. The Chayil is a sick animal. Here too, most Rishonim define a sick animal as an animal that's so old that it shakes. And the question that comes up is that an animal that shakes, but it could, and the same halacha actually would be by a person who's a chayla and therefore can't do the avodah. The Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar that says that anybody that's considered a balmum in these mumim that we've been learning should not l'chatchila be the shliach tzibur. What is the halacha if somebody shakes but he can control himself? Is he allowed to be about tefillah while he's controlling himself? So the Paiskim say as follows. Certainly if a person is only shaking because he's an older person, not because he has a disease, and he's able to control himself at certain times not to shake, he could be about tefillah. But even if he chas v'shalom is shaking because he's sick, for example he has Parkinson's, but if he takes some medication, it can control that shaking, the halacha will be, most Paiskim seem to suggest, that that he will not be considered, they could be about tefillah at that time. A mezuam is an animal that has a foul smell. Here too, the Rishonim discuss, what is the halacha if it has a foul smell, but it could be removed by putting some sort of perfume that will remove this foul smell. Is that already considered mezuam or not? So it seems that everybody agrees that if you'll put on that perfume which will remove the smell, then the animal is not going to be considered mezuhum. What some Rishonim want to suggest is even a bigger leniency, that since this is an animal that doesn't have such a bad smell, because it has a smell that can be covered by some perfume, that is enough that the animal should not be considered a mezuhum. The Shenev de Barveira, an animal with which and Avera was done. The Shehema Sadam, it killed a person, Api Eidecha, only with one aid. Why? Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, because if it killed with two aidim, that loch is a Mechuyiv Misa, and it's Asa Bahana, so there's no question about Shkita because you can't eat it. Or if the only way we know that it killed somebody was a Pia Balin, because the owners told us, and as we'll discuss, if it's only If we only know it because through the owner, then it's not mechuyev misa. Such an animal should not be brought on the mizbeach, but it cannot be considered full-fledged bechor bal mum, that it becomes the personal property of the kohen. For tumtum, an animal which is a tumtum is an animal that we can't tell if it's a male or a female because the simonim are closed. Vandragonus is an animal that has both simonim, the simonim of a zocher and the simonim of a neteva. Loi b'migdash v'loi b'medina. Such an animal should not be brought, cannot be used as a carbon, but also is not considered a full-fledged balmum, that it should not, that you could use it, that it could have the din of a b'chor balmum. And as the Tverish Yisrael explains, even though these words of loi b'migdash v'loi b'medina seem to be repetition, we already learned that's the words that the Mishnah began with, explains the Tverish Yisrael, because now we're about to learn the opinion of other Tanoim regarding the androgynous, and perhaps even the Tumtum, as we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to say that the opinion of Tanakama is that the Tumtum and androgynous are like the other animals that we just listed. Rabbi Shmuel, however, holds, Ein l'cha mum gadol mizeh, there is no bigger mum than an androgynous. The Chachamim, and the opinion of the Chachamim is, Ein b'chor, that androgynous is not a b'chor altogether, ela nigzus v'neva, because we know that Allah is that even a b'chor v'almum, as we discussed many times, is osur b'giza v'avoida. This is not osur b'giza v'avoida, because the Allah is that it's not considered a b'chor, because it's considered a berry b'fnei atzmai, its own category. Ask the Gemara, the ger of loy, our Mishnah seems to say that this animal that has goroids is not considered a mum. It's sort of in the middle category. Ask the Gemara, but siv goro baraisa. The Torah clearly says, averus oy shavar, oy choritz, oy abelus, oy goroids. So the Torah clearly indicates the gorov is a mum. How could our Mishnah say differently? Furthermore, ask the Gemara, the chazozis loy, how can we suggest that a chazozis is not a mum? The Torah, the passage that we just read, indicates Yalefis by Raisa, that Yalefis is a mum. The Tanya in the Braisa says, Gorov Zuacheris, Yalefis Zuchazozis HaMitzris. So the Braisa clearly teaches us that when the Torah says Yalefis, which it indicates is a mum, what does it mean? It means the Chazozis HaMitzris, the Vom Reish Lakish. And Rosh Lakish points out, Lama Nikra Shema Yalefis, why is the Chazozis called the Yalefis? Shema Yalefis, Vahilechis Agam Misa. It continues to deteriorate until the person dies. So we see that the Yalefis is a full-fledged mum. Why does the Mishnah say it's in this, sort of speak, middle category? Answers the Gemara. Bishlam Chazozis, the Chazozis Loikasha. The question of Chazozis can be answered. Kam B'Chazozis HaMitzris. The Mishnah that says that it's a full-fledged mum, the pasuk that says it's a full-fledged mum, the Yalefis, is talking about the Chazozis HaMitzvah. Kan, which the Mishnah here would seem to say it's not a full-fledged mum, is referring to Chazozis the Alma, which is not such a serious mum. However, says the Gemara, our original Kasha stands, Gerav Agarav Kasha. The Torah says the Gerav is a mum. Here it says it's not. Answers the Gemara, Garav Agarav Nami Lakasha. Habalach, when it's moist, it's not a full-fledged mum. Habiyavish, when it's dry, it's a full-fledged mum. For explains the Gemara, Lach, when it's moist, it to see, it could be cured, and therefore it's not a full-fledged mum. Yavish, when it's dry, loy mitasi, it doesn't have a refuah, and therefore it's a full-fledged mum. Frank asked the Gemara, V'lach mitasi, is that true that a moist garav to really heal? The tziv, the pasuk says in the Teichacha, Yachlash pashas kisavoy, Yachlash Hashem b'shchim mitzrayim u'b'tchayrim b'garim b'b'charis ashaloy sucha lihirofei. The tziv, Yachlash Hashem b'tzrayim mitzrayim b'charis, and the pasuk there uses the words b'charis, harei garav alach omer. So, charis means when it's dry, like a piece of earthenware. Garav, therefore, by deduction, must mean when it's moist. And yet, says the Torah, Ashalosucha Lerofe, that it's not curable. So how are we saying that the moist garav is not such a big, is not a full-fledged mum? Answers the Gemara Tosav, the three types of garav. The Krah, the one that the Torah says is a garav, is Yavish Ben Rufnei Ben Mechutz, it's completely dry. That certainly is a mum. The Masnisen, our Mishnah, that doesn't consider it a full-fledged mum, is lacking the chutnifnim, it's completely moist. Mitzrayim, the garb, the shchim Mitzrayim, as yavish mifnim, lacking the chut, it's dry on the inside and moist on the outside. It says, as the pasuk says, v'hi shchin avavoyis perech adam, blisters on upon the people, on top of the skin, and that means blisters of moisture. It's dry in the inside, so it will not heal. And that's what the pasuk means when it says garav and charis. One is completely dry, one is somewhat dry. Those are full-fledged mumim. The garav al mishnah is completely moist, and that's why it's not a full-fledged mum. The mabit uses our gemara to discuss. We all know that the halacha is that a chazazis on a esrig is makes the esrig not kosher. The question is, what is considered a chazazis? A chazazis means some sort of a bump, as we see in our Mishnah, a boil. So the Mabit wants to suggest that if the esrig developed this bump, not because an internal issue with the esrig, but because the esrig was laying on top of something else, and that caused it, because it's so soft, to develop a shape that looks like it's a protrusion, says the Mabit, based on this Gemara, that it would not be considered a chazazis, because our Gemara seems clear to indicate that the definition of a chazazis is a boil that erupts from inside the animal's skin, and only that would be considered a chazazis. So the Mishnah said that a zokin and a choyl and a mezuam are all considered not to be brought as a carbon. But not immediately. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that these animals should not be brought as a carbon? The Tanur Rabbanan, the pasuk says, Menatsoim, Menaksovim, Oy Meneizim. So the pasuk says the word min three times to teach us prat lezokin, lechayla, ulumazon. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to have three separate limudim? Vetzricha. Dikas Rachman ulumuti zokin. If we are only a pasuk to exclude a zokin, because a zokin, like hadabari, it can never, it doesn't get better. Av chayla, a zokin, once you're old, you don't get young again. Av chayla, someone's sick, the hadabari, can, in mitzvah Hashem, get better, so to buy an animal. Maybe we would say, it's not considered a full-fledged disqualification. A maloi, vikas lemuti chayla, if the Torah would have said, spoken about a chayla, the lav urche, disease is an abnormality. Avazokit, getting older, the hana urche, which is normal, a maloi, I would not consider a mum. Vikas rachmana trei lemuti hani, if the Torah would have only said these two, the chishi, because they are particularly weak. Avmzom, that a fowl, the light kakish, a foul-smelling animal that doesn't represent any specific weakness in the animal, amaloi, I would say should not be excluded. Vi nami lemuti mazum. Or if the Torah would have excluded a mazum, we would say mishum, the moth is particularly repugnant because it gives off this foul smell. Avahani deloi miisi, zokin and achayla aren't moth. Emaloi tzrichi. Says the Chassam Sofer, now that we have three psukim that speak about a chayla, zokin, and mazum, says the Chassam Sofer, we can now understand that the chayla that is excluded, that can be used as a carbon, doesn't have to be specifically a chayla mazukin, a deathly ill animal, but even an animal which is a chayla, not a chayla mazukin, is also osur. Why? Because as Al Gemara just taught it, it's comparing the chayla is compared to a zokin and a mazum. And Azaka and Mazon are certainly not death and life issues. Yet the Torah excludes them from being able to be used as a carbon. So too, the Chayla that the Torah excludes from being used as a carbon doesn't have to be a Chayla Masukin and still will not be able to be used as a carbon. Furthermore, the Paiskim point out that there are a number of halachas that become relevant once we've learned this Gemara. One is that we've learned that even though it's usur to make a mum on a bechor, but if the bechor already has a mum over, one can make a mum on it. So, in out that we quoted a rush earlier in Amasefta teaching us this. So here, an animal which is a chayla or a zaken a mazum certainly is considered enough of a bal mum that one can make a full-fledged mum on it, and then it can become the personal property of the kohen. Furthermore, the halacha is that one is not supposed to be magdish an animal that's a bal mum, and if you did, you're over a laugh. Here too, if somebody was magdish a chayla zaken a mazum, he's over that laugh. And as we mentioned earlier, regarding the question, the Magen Avraham speaks to us about who could be about tefillah of shliach tzibur, or the halacha of who could be a member of the Sanhedrin. A chayla, a zaken, a mazum clearly should not be a member of the Sanhedrin or be about tefillah l'chatchila. The Mishnah said v'shenev de ba'aveira, that if the animal was an aveira was done with the animal, it too becomes disqualified. Ask the Gemara Manan Yili, how do we know that that is the halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabban a minah behema, that the Tosaf says minah behema lahaytzu roiva v'nirva. If an animal was sodomized the person, such an animal is disqualified. Minah bakar lahaytzi es haneved, an animal that was worshipped. Minah tzoyin lahaytzi es hamuksa, an animal that was designated for avodah zarah. Machlokes Rishonim, if the designation has to be verbal, or the designation could even just be with one having such an intent. Minatzoyim lahaytzi es negeach, an animal that gored someone should not be bored as a carbon. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majid Sarova that says, how do we connect the word minatzoyim to teach us lahaytzi es hamuksa, that an animal that was designated for the avodah zarah should not be brought as a carbon? So he says a very interesting point. He says two interesting observations. One, he says we know that Klal Yisrael is compared to tzoyim, to sheep. And another observation he makes is that we know in the Hebrew language there are words that are in the singular and words in the plural. When we speak with the word tzoyim, sheep, doesn't have a singular and a plural. The word tzoyim is used both when we speak about many sheep or when we speak about one sheep. Why? Because he says it is the characteristic of tzoyim, it is the characteristic of sheep to travel together. So since they're always together, even when you have many sheep, they're called tzoyim, one sheep. And he says that's the same with Klal Yisrael, that we too are one nation connected to each other, and therefore the word tzayin, therefore we are, the word the tzayin is a perfect comparison to whom we are. So he says, if someone separates himself from the rest of Klal Yisrael, if someone doesn't, is a minamuksa, that he goes and he designates something for avodah zarah, that he's separating himself from the rest of Klal Yisrael, so he's not part of the tzayin. And that's why the word muksa is very connected to tzoyim. Ask the Gemara, but all of these animals, hani p'tei k'tola ninu, amuchuyiv misa. So how could there be a question of slaughtering them for personal use or bringing them as a carbon? You have to kill them. Answers the Gemara, it's referring to the situation al pi eid echad, that we only know that they did this through an eid echad, so we don't kill any, even our animal, just al pi eid echad, or al pi bal. And there's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says Dalpi Balim, it's a Maida B'Knas. Because since the Chiyuv to kill an animal that killed someone else is a Knas, and the Halach is the Maida B'Knas is Potter. And therefore, if we only know through the owner, the Halach is that we wouldn't kill the animal. Tosfos in Masechta Bava Kama disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says the killing of such an animal is not a knas, but, says Tosfos, still the owner is not believed because it remains a situation of a Baal Dover. He is the owner of the animal and he can't be believed, and therefore the animal is not killed, not because of Maida B'Knas. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos is a very significant nafkamina. Because we know the halacha is, as we learned in the Masechta Bava Kama, Maid b'knas v'achkach bo edim, if the owner admitted and then edim came, it's potter. So according to Rashi, even if edim ultimately show up, the halacha will be that this animal will not be killed. According to Tosfos, if edim ultimately show up, then there will be a chiyuv misa, because this is not considered a situation of Maida B'Knas. It's interesting to point out that the Bach says that Bezman Hazeh, that we don't have a Sanhedrin that is capable of ruling on capital cases, even if there are two Eidim that can say that the animal did, was a rival or a nirva, the halacha is that the animal would remain Mutar B'Hano. He, however, makes a distinction between if the roiva nirva was with a Yisrael versus when it was with an Akum. Because the halacha is that an Akum doesn't need a Sanhedrin and an Akum doesn't need Eden. So therefore he suggests that if an animal was engaged in being a roiva and a nirva with an Akum, even Bezman Hazeh, it could be sentenced to death on the based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, and therefore it's even also B'Hanah today. The Taz disagrees with the Bach, because the Taz says that the animal is not considered also B'Hanah until there was an actual death sentence given, decreed. And until such a death sentence is decreed, the fact that it potentially could have a death sentence doesn't make it into Osa B'Hanah. The Sefer Chassidim, however, does point out that if the Minig Hamokim, the custom in the place, is that an animal that was involved in Revia is not eaten, that by Akum, that a Yisrael shouldn't eat such an animal either, so it shouldn't be a situation that Yisraelim are not as careful as the Akum. We can't bring a tumtum in the base of Midgash because still in the cave he. It may be in the cave and there's no Hilchus Bechayra on in the cave. And as the Reishis Bikurim points out, why doesn't the person make it tonight? And say, if this animal is a Zohar, so it's a Bechar. And if it's in the keva, I'm bringing it as a carbon shlomim. So the Reishis Bikurim explains, because the Torah says, Zohar tamin, then the keva tamima, it has to be a full-fledged Zohar, or full-fledged Nekeva, and such an animal is clearly not a Zohar tamin, or Nekeva tamima. Medina loy, it shouldn't be slaughtered outside the base of Midrash, because Dilma Zohar hu, maybe it is a full-fledged Zohar, the less by Muma, and it doesn't have a Mum, and therefore I can't shecht it, because you're not allowed to shecht the Bechor outside the base of Midrash. That we can understand, says the Gemara, by the Tumtum. However, as the Gemara, El Androgynous, let's understand Androgynous, Bishlom of the Midrashloi, we can understand that it should not be brought into the base of Midrash, the Mum, the Kedahi, and if it's in the cave, it's not a Bechor. Ella, the Medina, why can't we slaughter it outside the base of Midrash? Because says the Gemara, Nami the Zacharhu, even if we'll consider it a Zachar, Tas in the cave is Charitz. The place where it has the Simon of the Nekeva should be like a blemish, and it therefore should be considered about mum. And once it's about mum, the yishchar, what the halacha should be that can be brought outside the base of Migdash. Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Amar Kra, Oy Choritz, Oy Shavar. The Torah compares Choritz to Shavar. Choritz Dumi the Shavar. Mas Shavar. Shavar means B'makam Etzem. It has to be with a bone. So too, Af Choritz B'makam Etzem. Even though the Mepharshim point out, we've spoken about Mumim, not where there's a bone, like on the lip. So the Chazon Ish answers that some places a cut, even without a bone, is considered a very significant mum, but not all places. Others explain that, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that there are opinions that hold that a choritz doesn't have to have a bone. Those Mishnayos reflect that opinion. Rav Amar, B'loy Shava. Without this comparison, we can never suggest that if it's not the Mokum Basur, if it's just the Mokum Basur, it's a mum. These are dead items. If we're going to say that anywhere where there's a cut, have a mumma, it's considered a mum, kiven the omer. Since the Torah, as we learned earlier, garav, when the Torah says garav, it means a cheris, it means a boil, mekrat cheris. Now every garav is like a cut, the ksiv, because the Torah, when it speaks about the neged tzaras, says a mareu omek min ha'or, it appears deeper than the skin. And what does that mean? Kamara chama amukim min ha'tzeil. It looks like the appearance of the sun, a surface which reflects the light of the sun, which appears to be deeper than the shade around it. That means, although the area of the skin that has tzaras on it is not actually lower than the surrounding skin, the discoloration makes it appear to be lower, because a bright light color gives the illusion of being lower than the darker area that surrounds it. The lichta rachmana, so similarly a garif, always appears deeper than the skin. And therefore, if we're going to say that any blemish, any cut, is considered a mum, lichta rachmana choritz, so it should just, the Torah should have just said the word choritz, and then we would know that automatically a garif is in the same category as a choritz. The Leibari garif, and the Torah wouldn't have to mention garif separately. Vamina, and we would obviously come to the conclusion, choritz, when you just have a cut, the lavamoth, yet the Torah considers it have a mumma, garif, that besides having this impression of being a cut, the moth, that's also moth, loy kolshke, that it's a mum, kas rachmana garif lameima, so why did the Torah have to say garif? The choritz, the makam basar, lav a mumma, to teach it that a choritz, where there is no bone, is not a mum. The Mishnah continued, and a dragoness is considered a full-fledged mum. Ask the Gemara, even though Abai and Rava just said that the fact that the androgynous has this choritz doesn't make it into mum, why doesn't he agree? He doesn't agree to this hekish between choritz and shavar. Because when is a cut in an area not considered a blemish, heichad lo minkra, when it's not that recognizable, like the agarif, aval heichad the minkar, but where it's recognizable, certainly in the case of an androgynous, it's considered recognizable, mumra karinaba, certainly the category of a mumra, and therefore he says an androgynous is a mum and should not be brought as a karin. By Rav, not a Gemara continues and trying to analyze the opinion of Rav Shmuel, who disagreed with the Tanna Kamma, and he considered an androgynous a Baal Mum. Ask the Gemara, by Rava, let's try to understand Rava's opinion. Let's try to understand Rav Shmuel's opinion. My Tamid Rav Shmuel, what is Rav Shmuel's explanation? Mishra Pshitaloi, is it obvious to him androgynous is a Bechor, it's considered a Bechor, but it's a Bechor that's a Baal Mum? Or Dilma, Sluki Masafkaloi. Or maybe he even has a question of it's a Bechor. And the way to understand his opinion is as follows. Imtim Tzuloy Mekamah. Imtim Tzuloy Mekamah. First of all, I'm not that sure that it's a Bechor. And even if you'll say it is a Bechor, Harei Mumayimai, it has a Mum. Ask the Mar, Lamay Nafkamina, which explanation of Rabbi Shmuel? The bottom line is that he says in a dragoness, you don't have to, you can't bring it as a carbon. You could slaughter it outside. Answer the Gemara. Lamilkala Mishum Gizav Avaida. Because we know that even though a Bechor Ba Mum should not be brought as a carbon, still there's a restriction that you're not allowed to do Gizav Avaida with it. And now the Gemara's question will be, the Gemara says, that's why we need to know. Does Rabbi Shmuel consider a Bechor? And if one did Gizav Avaida with it, he gets Malkus? Or it's Bechlal not a Bechor, and there is no Malkus of Gizav Avaida. Inami. Are you obligated to give it to a kohen? If it's considered a bechor, or be it a bal mum, the halacha is a bechor bal mum must be given to the kohen. If on the other hand it's not a bechor at all, or it's a question it's a bechor, then you don't have to give it to the kohen. Hamayt mechavera all of a raya. Says the Mar Toshma, Rabbi Loi Oyim Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, a dragon is bechor hu u'mumay imo. Shma mina, it seems to be very evident. Mishum shita way that Rabbi Shmuel holds. Then androgynous is considered a bechor bal mum. It says the Gemara, it's not compelling. The Dilma, the way to understand it, intim tzolayma kamer. It should be understood as an intim tzolayma. Toshma, so the Gemara brings another raya. The pasuk says, zocher. The Torah says regarding a carbon oila, one should bring an animal which is a zocher. The loyim teva, but not a female. Shoyim lamata, when the Torah tells us again, Zohar, that a carbon oil should be a Zohar. She'en tam aloyma, there is no need for the Torah to say it, because we already learned that a Zohar v'loy nekeva. Ma tam aloyma, what does the Torah teach us? L'hoitzi tumtum and androgynous, that in tumtum and androgynous are not brought for a carbon oil. Now ask the Gemara, man, who is the tan of this Greiser? Ilayim etanakama. If we're going to say it's the Tanakama, Sveikahu. They hold, the Tanakama's opinion is, that a tumtum and androgynous is a suffix, if it's a zocher or a nekeva. V'asa krol amuti sveika? Do I need a pasuk to teach us that? Because, as most Rishonim explain, what the pasuk here, what the Gemara is teaching us, is a very important rule. We may have a suffix, is it a androgynous or a tumtum, a zocher or a nekeva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no sveikas, has no questions. So, the Torah, which was written by Hashem, has no reason to speak about a tumtum and a dryness to teach us, because if it's a zakhra, it's a zakhra, if it's in the cave, it's in the cave. We have no need for the Torah to say. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw is that because we know that throughout halacha, the din is, and this goes according to that man, the Omer, that holds sofik darais l'chumra. Whenever we have a sofik, we go l'chumra. So if we don't know what it is, certainly we should treat it as a sofik, and it should be treated mechumra as a zakhor in the keva. The fact that the Torah said something, it means it seems to be coming to teach us something. Why does the Torah have to say it? El Rabbanan Besroi. Maybe it's going according to the last Rabbanan in our Mishnah that considered a berry b'fnei atzma. But ask the Gemara if that's who it's coming to teach. Mechat pro nafki. We could learn that a tumtum and a dragoness are not kosh of a carbon oiler from the same pasuk that we learned that a nekeva is not kosh of a carbon oiler. Because we have such a precedent. The God Bechor, by Bechor Chad Zochik Tiksiv. The Torah only says the word Zochah once. And from that word Zochah, Muntin Kuliminayu, we exclude the nekeva and the tumtum and a dragoness. Elip Shita. It's going according to the Shmuel. Now ask the Gemara. Be ambush on the Shmuel, Knivshit, Shitalei, that if Rabbi Shmuel clearly holds that it's considered a Bechor, Hanya, this is a Kral Amuti. Now we understand the Pasuk. That even though it's a Zohar, and it should be considered a Bechor, it's not, doesn't have the full-fledged halakas of a Bechor, and it's not brought as a carbon. Eli Amrit, Misapkalei, if we're going to say that it's a Sophic, it's a Kral Amuti Sveika. We're back to where we started. We don't need a pasuk by Hashem that knows fakers. Answer to Gemara, Lailan Rabbanan Besroi. It is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanan at the end of the Mishnah that hold a tumtum and an androgynous, and androgynous as far as this shear is concerned, a berry b'fnei atzmoi. I would ask if it's a berry b'fnei atzmoi, just like by Bechor, why don't I learned it from one pasuk with the Kaver. So too, by Oila, I should learn from one pasuk. Why do I need two pasukim? Says Mar, that was incorrect. Because by the Bukhar, Tati Kroitziv, the two pasukim by Bukhar as well, has Zohar, has a Charim. The Torah says two times. The Torah says the word Zohar twice. Once for the Kaver, and once for Tumtum Nadroinus that are buried with Nei Atzma. Similarly, the Torah says by a carbon oiler, one time Zohar to exclude in a Kaver, and one time to exclude a Tumtum and Androgynous that are buried with Nei Atzma. So that Braisa reflects the opinion of the Rabbanu Basroi. Their opinion, were very clear, is that they consider the buried with Nei Atzma, but we still have not resolved what is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Does he hold it's a Bechor or Mumay Imay, or does he hold that it's maybe not even a Bechor, not even a Zohar at all, and the Gemara doesn't resolve what is the opinion of Rishmal regarding an androgynous.